Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashad Suniel Amin. The show is Your Health is Your Wealth. I want to thank you all for tuning in. And I want to also thank Imam Alfred Muhammad for allowing me this spot every Thursday, 6 o'clock, to talk about health issues. And hopefully everybody's ready to listen and have their pens and pads ready to take down important information. Again, thank you, audience. And we will have some studies I want to share with you today on health and some other vital information. I want to start just by saying we've been hearing about the Ebola virus, and it spread across Africa, and few victims here in America, and they're really making it seem like this is such a big issue when it's not as big as you think it is. I think they're putting more fear in the people than anything, because there are other sicknesses here in America that you find more people dying from, you see. And even in Africa, they're dying more of malnutrition, starvation, wasting disease, and they try to make it look like it's the AIDS virus. And it's kind of funny because it's always hitting the poor people. You never see the people of affluence or with money. They don't seem to be coming down with any of these viruses. And I'm just wondering, why is that? And we know that in the poor areas, especially in poor sections of Africa, there's lack of certain necessities, lack of clean water in some areas, and it may not be as clean in some areas as some of the more affluent areas. So it just needs to clean up their surroundings and start building up their immunity and having a better nutritious diet, which can help them prevent themselves from coming down from these diseases. But America likes to blow up things, and America, I believe, is looking to make this an issue so they can come up with a drug and start charging everybody arm and a leg, and then come up with some shot, a preventative shot, an Ebola shot, to charge you $20, $40 a pop, you see, where they can make them some more money and make billions and billions of dollars. And you'd be a fool to take that shot because it just would be the Ebola virus in your body. So these are really little schemes, you see. Of course, we should always be wary. I mean, if someone does have the Ebola around you, you have to take a lot of precaution. That's understandable. But there's many diseases here in America that has affected people, and thousands of people die each year in America from certain diseases. I mean, heart failure, heart disease, cancer, so many, you know, kidney failure and all these type of diseases, liver disease. All these are killing people by the thousands, by the thousands. If you ever look at the statistics and see how many millions of people die each year in America alone from disease, so they make it look like this is a real epidemic when we already have epidemics here in America from all these other diseases. You understand? We have airborne diseases out here. So it's not the only disease, but they like to blow things up. There was a book, I can't think of the author right now. I do have it in my library downstairs. I can't get to it now. But it was called The Coming Plague. And it was talking about the Ebola virus. Yes, the Ebola virus. And if you get your hands on that book, you should read it, you see. And this woman was talking about the Ebola virus, the common plague. You know, it's been around for a while. This is not nothing new. It's been here. It's been here since the 80s, so it's not a new disease, you see. But, you know, they like to keep people in fear all the time and have you stressed out, thinking that, you know, you're going to be the next victim of something, or scared to get on an airplane because that person there may have the disease, and you're in a controlled environment where, a contained environment where, you know, the air is circulating all through the plane. And you know, people don't be scared to fly and things of this nature. So, yeah, it's something they're trying to use so these pharmaceutical companies can make some more billions of dollars and have you paying for something fraudulent drug a vaccine for you to take that only is going to create more problems. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. You can find out more information on this, but don't let them put fear in you. Okay? Make sure your immunity is strong. Take the things necessary to keep your immunity up. I've spent plenty of time on this program giving you information on how to build your immunity, the herbs to take, the extracts, you know, the supplements, all these things to build your immunity up, to make it strong. I talk about the black seed oil, the number one oil on the planet. Start taking that every day. Take a teaspoon. Get the organic black seed oil. Take a teaspoon every morning. You understand? Take the pure extra virgin olive oil. Take the pure extra virgin coconut oil. Get the organics. Oh, this is excellent. Get the olive leaf extract, which I'm going to speak about on this program today. You see, there's plenty of things you can do for yourself. Get the wood root tonics. Excellent to protect you against epidemics. Yes. And this tonic is made in Jamaica. Yes, the Jamaicans, you know, they made this tonic. I take wood root tonic every day. I've been taking it for 25 years, and it's been excellent, excellent. The Maroon people of Jamaica, they're the ones that came up with the idea for the wood root tonic. Very powerful stuff. Look it up. Go on your computer and look it up. These are things you need to be putting in your system. Drink plenty of clean water. A lot of you don't want to drink water. You want soda. You want the little sugar juices and Kool-Aid and all this nonsense that's destroying you. Instead of putting pure things, fresh juices, make some fresh juices, some green juices. All these things are going to help your immunity. You understand? This is what you need. You don't need a vaccine. You just need to build your immunity up. These vaccines weaken your immunity. Your immunity doesn't want to work because they want the vaccines to work for you. And that's why your immunity becomes weak. And then a lot of you with these sugary diets, all these high sugar diets, is weakening your immunity. I keep telling you, every time you put some sugar in your mouth, 50% of your antibodies go down, and that's part of your immune system. So you're working with a weakened immune system. So wake up, people. Wake up. Start taking those things to prevent yourself from even being exposed or, you know, just getting hit with these diseases. You understand? Wake up, brothers and sisters. Don't just take for granted that your immune system is strong. No, make sure it's strong. Give it what it needs. Stop using all these drugs that are weakening your immune system. That's right, medical drugs and recreational drugs. Those are all weakening your immune system. So you think about it now. Please, brother and sister, don't be a fool and become a victim to these diseases and epidemics or whatever. Okay, go to your health food store. Ask some questions. People will tell you what there is there for you to build your immunity up with. You see, I gave you a whole list weeks ago on what to do. But just go to your health food store. You'll find plenty there. Or go to a Whole Foods Market or something. They have plenty of these herbs and extracts and supplements that you can take to help you. Okay? All right. Enough for that. And let's get ready to share some information here. Again, have your pen and pads ready and tell your friends about the program. Have them tune in. Family members or co-workers, have them tune in because this is vital information that can help save their lives, you see. Okay, number one, artificial sweeteners. You know, I always speak against these artificial sweeteners. Anything artificial is not good for you. You got a natural body. Why do you want something artificial in a natural body? I know some of you got artificial minds, so you think everything artificial is okay. You see? You better get back to your natural mind. Get back in tune with nature. Don't denature yourself. Get back to the natural things that our ancestors used to do and used to use and things of that nature, you see? But anyway, diet drinks, brothers and sisters, have been enormously popular since the introduction in the early 1960s. That's how long these diet drinks have been around. And, you know, yet the more of them that Americans drink, the wider their waistlines have become. Yes, wider. You thought these diet drinks were going to help you lose weight. Well, they tricked you, believe me. According to animal research from Kito University in Japan, even though consuming a non-nutritive sweetener led to reduced blood sugar levels, it triggered a gain in body fat, as well as increased leptin and triglyceride levels, you see? And the animals also experienced a decrease in brown fat. Now, low levels of this type of fat reduce metabolism and promote the accumulation of fat. So these physiological reactions to artificial sweeteners could explain why the chronic intake of diet drinks appears to actually undermine weight loss efforts. You see? So this is not something you want to put in your system. Don't think for a minute a diet drink is going to make you lose weight. No, not at all. They've already proven that. You see, there's many studies out on that. So don't let them fool you and make you think that, oh, yes, drink the diet sodas. Soda's not good for you, period. So stay away from that. Now, there's another study about sitting. Yes, it says sitting, just sitting around, raises the risk of premature death. Did you know that? Yes. And just spending hours each day in front of a television or computer screen can be hazardous to your health. And a new study of some 93,000 postmenopausal women found that those who spent the most time sitting died earlier than their most active peers. In the study which appeared in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine reported that women who sat for more than 11 hours faced a 12% increase in all-cause and premature mortality compared with the most energetic group, those with 4 hours or fewer of inactivity. So the sedentary women also had a 13% greater risk of dying from cardiovascular disease and a 27% higher chance of dying from coronary heart disease, and 31% increased risk of developing cancer. So what's the take-home message? If you have a desk job, incorporate moderate intensity exercise periodically throughout your day. take a brisk walk, perform 60 seconds of jumping jacks, or opt for the stairs instead of the elevator. Those are simple things you can do in between your working hours. Get away from the desk for a while. Do some stretching. Do some jumping jacks. Just jump for a minute. It'll help you a lot with your circulation and things of that nature. But a lot of you have become couch potatoes or chair potatoes or whatever you want to call it, and you are just destroying your body and just going to create more problems, and you're going to wish you had started some kind of little exercise program. Okay? So hopefully that is something that you take to heart and make the changes necessary to keep you from just winding up with coronary disease or heart disease. Okay. Now, any of you ever hear of resveratrol? You know, resveratrol comes from grapes. And they say resveratrol may help diabetics manage blood sugar. So a daily dose of resveratrol, that's a hard name to pronounce, resveratrol, may improve glucose control and insulin sensitivity in people with diabetes, according to a new study review. And data from 11 studies involving 388 people found that resveratrol reduced levels of fasting glucose and insulin while also lowering hemoglobin, AIC levels, okay? And high HbA is a marker of excess glucose in the blood and an indication of insulin resistance. So while resveratrol didn't appear to impact glucose levels in non-diabetics, adding supplemental resveratrol to a healthy low-glycemic diet could help those with type 2 diabetes get a better handle on their disease. And, you know, Ceylon cinnamon is also excellent for diabetics. You should purchase that. You can find that at the health food store. Cinnamon from Ceylon, or Ceylon, C-E-Y-L-O-N, cinnamon. Very good, okay? And eat your avocados and change your diet. Get away from the sugary nonsense and the high fructose corn syrup and things of that nature. And start eating a whole foods diet. You won't have to suffer with this problem. Another is vitamin C promotes healthier arteries. Yes, vitamin C. Yeah, you know, vitamin C is good for a lot of things. But let's talk about the healthy arteries. And this is just another good reason to take supplemental vitamin C, along with boosting your overall antioxidant status. This standby nutrient has been found to boost the health of your endothelium, the thin layer of cells that line the inside of blood vessels. And during a review of 44 clinical trials involving more than 1,100 people, the scientists from Newcastle University in England found that this was especially true for people with diabetes, atherosclerosis, and heart failure. While 500 milligrams of vitamin C daily was the dose that triggered these benefits, it's smart to pair a vitamin C supplement with C-rich foods like bell peppers, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, citrus fruits, papaya, and pineapple, which all contain vitamin C. So this is what we should be doing, brothers and sisters. And if you buy a supplemental vitamin C, get the buffered form, which is the better form. So keep vitamin C in mind, especially because now we're getting ready to get into the winter season pretty soon, and you want to build your immunity up. This is a good time to do it. Don't wait till the last minute when you start coming down with these other complications and you come down with the flu and pneumonia and things of this nature. You see, a lot of you come down with these problems because you don't take care of your bodies. You abuse your bodies. You have a bad lifestyle, bad eating habits, so you become a victim. I hate to say it like that, but it's the truth. And you know, like I know, it's the truth. All right. Now, how about taking a bite out of heart disease? Just like the little dog who takes a bite out of crime. Well, let's take a bite out of heart disease, okay? Now, this is talking about dental care, which can protect your arteries. And when you hear the term, your heart's in your mouth, you probably think of how it feels when you're frightened or startled. But according to several recent studies, your heart and your mouth actually have more to do with each other than you might expect. And it turns out that people with periodontal disease and caused by bacteria that accumulates between the teeth and the gums are at higher risk of atherosclerosis. And this was recently shown by two clinical trials linking periodontal disease with important cardiovascular risk factors, especially systemic inflammation that can damage arteries in middle-aged subjects. Hear that? And it said accumulated bacteria hiding deep in periodontal pockets and around the teeth can also boost your chances of a heart attack. You better see your dentist. Findings in the Journal of Periodontology report that people who had suffered a heart attack had 9 times more periodontal bacteria in the pockets than people who had never had a heart attack. But you don't need full-blown periodontal disease to risk a heart attack. They have Scandinavian scientists have found that people over the age of 80 with 3 or 4 cavities located in the roots of teeth have an increased risk of an irregular heartbeat, a condition known as cardiac arrhythmia. And the most obvious way to protect against bacteria is to practice good oral hygiene. Yes, brushing and flossing twice a day can whisk away bacteria and help preserve that beautiful smile, brothers and sisters. And using a natural mouthwash that contains antiseptic herbs like green tea, thyme, T-H-Y-M-E, oregano, cinnamon, and clove that also provide antibacterial and anti-inflammatory properties can offer targeted protection. And studies show that some of these herbs, especially thyme, clove, and cinnamon, are highly effective against Streptococcus mutans, the bacteria linked to tooth decay. But you can also boost your oral health from the inside out with plant oils. Now listen, they have mouthwashes that contain these ingredients, natural mouthwashes, not those alcohol types, those commercial stuff you see on TV, not those. I'm talking about some natural, holistic mouthwashes that can help prevent this problem, you see. And studies suggest that adding highly concentrated herbal oils to a comprehensive dental care plan may help systematically reduce bacteria and the resultant inflammation in those with periodontal disease, you see. And a recent study in the Journal of Contemporary Dental Practice found that cinnamon and clove boast the highest antibacterial activity. And other herbs traditionally used to tame systemic inflammation and bacterial infections include thyme and oregano. Oregano oil is a very strong oil. Wild Mediterranean oregano oil, brothers and sisters. So use of these herbal oils, especially when combined, may be an effective way to support both your pearly whites and your cardiovascular system for a whole lifetime. And you know what else is good, brothers and sisters? An apple a day. After a meal, have an apple. Apple is like a natural toothbrush. It cleans all that mess up between your teeth and all. Very good for you. And it's good for your heart. It's good for so many things. You see? So keep that in mind, brothers and sisters. These are simple things that we all can do to prevent these problems. Okay? So let's keep that in mind. All right, now, what else do we want to talk about? Oh, you know what? I just thought about something. Yeah. Memory. I did a whole program once on this blog radio program some months back on memory. So just a little tidbit on this. Not that small of a tidbit, but it's a little bigger than a tidbit on memory savers, okay? Now, I know some of you have walked into a room only to have forgotten, why did I walk in this room? Have you ever experienced that? I'm pretty sure I haven't done it myself. Or perhaps you can't recall where you left your car keys, maybe right on your finger. And you may have even missed an appointment because it slipped your mind. Now, while these types of memory lapses can occur at any age, if you're over the age of 50, you may be left wondering if they are the first subtle signs of dementia or loss of mental acuity. Now, let's look at this. And luckily, these concerns are often baseless. In fact, most common memory lapses simply reflect normal changes to the structure and function of the aging brain. Now, as we grow older, blood flow to the brain diminishes, causing it to utilize oxygen and protein less efficiently. And what's more, brain cells don't communicate as efficiently as they once did, making it harder to process thoughts, retain short-term memory, and create new neurons. So stress, fatigue, and poor nutrition can also interfere with your ability to concentrate, learn new facts, or make decisions. But you don't need to resign yourself to these senior moments. Combining some healthy habits with smart supplementation can keep your brain functioning on all cylinders, brothers and sisters. Yes. So let's have some food for thought here. Eating a nutrient-rich diet can help keep your brain in top form. Vibrant fruits, which I always promote, and vegetables provide antioxidants that help guard against cell-damaging free radicals and improve the signals that help brain cells communicate with each other. And they have shown research from Columbia University Medical Center. They discovered that people who most closely followed a produce-packed Mediterranean-type diet are 15% less likely to suffer from cognitive impairment than people who eat the standard American diet. That's the SAD diet. So eating a Mediterranean diet also significantly lowers the risk of developing Alzheimer's disease. Nobody out there wants to suffer from that. Believe me, you don't want to lose your mind. Well, get to the point where you can't remember who your mother is or your sister or your brother or even your child. You're in trouble. You never want to get to that point. So the best thing to do is to stay sharp with supplements. Maximizing your mental powers requires a steady supply are some nutrients that have been shown to guard against age-related changes. And evidence also suggests that the following supplements I'm going to run down to you may help prevent Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia. And not only supplements, brothers and sisters. You can do like crossword puzzles and all these little funny puzzle books they have now, which can improve your memory. You need to do those things too. Yes, brain teasers, all these things are very good for you. But anyway, preliminary studies suggest that curcumin, let me spell that for you, C-U-R-C-U-M-I-N, curcumin, derived from the curry spice turmeric, which I always talk about and always suggest that you take, may protect the brain in multiple ways. And according to findings in the Journal of Medicinal Food, curcumin improves memory and learning deficits by protecting the nervous system from oxidative stress. And other research in the journal Current Medical Chemistry found that curcumin not only crosses the blood-brain barrier once it reaches the brain, it exerts anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, and metal chelating actions. It may also work to prevent the formation of amyloid plaque, one of the key markers of Alzheimer's disease. Yes, plaque. And one drawback to most curcumin supplements, you have to be very careful which one you purchase, okay? And they're not well absorbed by the body, but they are more bioavailable form known as BCM-95, B as in boy, C as in Charles, M as in mother, -95. And these have been created, and it increases absorption up to 10 times that of standard curcumin supplements. So make sure that curcumin supplement has the BCM-95, okay? And it also, stays at significant levels in the bloodstream far longer than your standard curcumin, you see? So this is a very unique form of curcumin that you should look into. Now, two of my favorite teas, rosemary and sage. These, I'm going to tell you, these are very powerful teas. They're aromatic teas, but they're powerful. Very good. Write that down. Rosemary tea and sage tea. Sage is S-A-G-E. Anyway, these two teas, these two herbs, with a centuries-old reputation for memory enhancement, have also been clinically shown to inhibit acetylcholinesterase, a key enzyme in the brain that slows the firing of neurons. And some drugs designed to treat dementia also inhibit the same. So preliminary research in the Journal of Phytotherapia shows that animals fed a rosemary extract displayed improved long-term memory, and in a double-blind placebo-controlled trial of 36 healthy volunteers, British researchers found that a single dose of sage extract improved memory and attention within just 1 hour of taking the supplement. Yes. The sage extract, that's the liquid form, it's extract form, okay? So after 4 hours, the volunteers who took the supplement also experienced reduced mental fatigue and increased alertness. And the researchers of both studies noted that rosemary and sage may prove a safe and effective alternative for the prevention and treatment of impaired memory and cognition. Did you hear that? You better rush to the health food store and get you some rosemary and sage, and also vitamin D. Vitamin D may also play an important role in maintaining cognition and lowering the risk of Alzheimer's. And they have shown that numerous studies have found that low levels of the sunshine vitamin, okay, vitamin D, what you get from the sun, are linked to poor cognitive function and a high incidence of Alzheimer's disease. Did you hear that? You need that sunshine. Yes, you need. Stop putting those sunblocks on your skin. That's destructive. That causes cancer, and it blocks the vitamin D from getting into your skin and all, absorbing into your skin. No. Please, and people of color, you don't need that. Okay, you don't need that. That's ridiculous. That's for light-skinned and Caucasian people, but they shouldn't even use that. They should just stop being in the sun for 10 hours trying to get a suntan. Just get enough sun, 15, 20 minutes, okay? You know, don't try to fry out there trying to change your skin color. You white, you white. You black, you black. So what? Be what you are, okay? Anyway, I know. They say black is beautiful. Everybody wants to look dark and nice. You understand? I can't blame you, but still, don't fry yourself. Anyway, let's go on. And I'm just not trying to make mockery or anything. It's not nothing like that, please. I'm just giving you advice, okay? Just giving you advice. Anyway, so back to the vitamin D. And a recent review of 17 observational and interventional studies that appeared in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease concluded that low vitamin D levels could predict poor executive function, especially on the ability to shift between tasks, update information, and process thoughts. But supplementing with a daily dose of D may reduce inflammation and help to rebalance the body's ability to engulf the amyloid beta peptides involved in the development of Alzheimer's disease. I hope you're hearing me here. You see, this is very important information, brothers and sisters. And also, another thing that we should all be doing, and I hope you're trying to do it, and that is exercise. Very important. How many of you out there exercise? Think about it. I mean, look. Not extreme exercise. You know, you got people going to these gyms, and they go in there for hours and hours working out. Some go to the extreme, you see, and all this here. That's not necessary. Running on a treadmill for 2 and 3 hours, that's not necessary. You understand? Movement is what's necessary. Just being active. A nice brisk walk for a half hour is excellent. So some calisthenics, you know, you might do some push-ups, and this is all you need. You don't need all that extreme exercise. Sometimes that's not good for you. It can create free radicals. Yes, have cells running wild in your system, you see. That's not necessary. People think they got to run for 3 or 4 hours a day. I used to do stuff like that. It's not necessary. Okay, I thought it was the thing to do. All you got to do is just be active. I ran into seniors, 90-some years old, and they just tell you, just stay active. And they're in good shape. Just stay active. That's all they say. Move around. Do things. Just don't sit around. They showed a man on the news, a gentleman over 100 years old. He still works. He said the key is not to sit in front of the TV all day. He tinkers and fixes clocks and things of that nature. Gets around. I remember even as a youngster in the neighborhood, I would see old ladies walking brisk going to the store. I mean old. Going to the store, you understand? Walking, you see? Not sitting around having someone drive them around or walking with a walker and all that. Matter of fact, when I was young, I didn't see nobody with walkers. This is something new. I didn't see all this stuff. I don't know. Things have changed so much nowadays, you see? Everybody's drugged up with these drugs and all this bad food and polluted air and all this nonsense. You know, it's just people are just not as strong as they used to be, it seems like. But they say, yeah, people are living longer, though. Yeah, but living longer in what kind of condition? You see? But anyway, exercise your mind. If you want to stay mentally sharp, you know, just you can hit the gym for a little while. You know, a new study conducted by researchers at the Center for Brain Health at the University of Texas at Dallas found that engaging in physical exercise on a regular basis helps healthy aging adults improve their memory, brain health, and physical fitness. And during the study, couch potatoes, potato heads sitting there, doing nothing and want people to serve them all day long. Hey, bring me my pizza, bring me this. You know, they're too busy watching TV. They don't want to get up off the couch. But anyway, the couch potatoes, right? Between the ages of 55 and 75, were randomized to either an exercise program or a control group. And after just 12 weeks, those in the exercise group showed an increase in brain blood flow in the hippocampus, the key brain region affected by Alzheimer's disease. And it shows evidence that it's never too late to make exercise part of a healthy and a smart lifestyle. Yeah, even if it's a sport or gardening, any of those things help. A lot of you don't even like to walk. I got to get in my car to go 2 blocks to the store to buy a bag of apples or something. Oh, no, I shouldn't even said that. I forgot your potato chips. Most of you, that's what most people seem to eat nowadays, a bunch of chips. Okay? You forgot about the apples. But anyway, too lazy to walk. They'd rather get in their BMW, Mercedes-Benz, some of which some people can't even afford, wasting their money on that nonsense, go to the store and come back. You see? Ridiculous. Take the walk. Stop being lazy. Do like the old people back in my day when I was a youngster. You see them walking to the store. I mean, they were walking, too. Not with walkers, walking straight up. In the 80s and 90s, walking. Think about it. Okay? Don't be a couch potato. Okay? Your children might make you a potato head and use you as a toy. All right, let me stop. Sometimes I just have to add a little humor to this thing. Now, you know, cancer is so prevalent in this country. I remember when I first got into health, I read a book on macrobiotics. I don't know if any of you have read anything on macrobiotics. This is something started by a Japanese gentleman. And he showed how people who had cancer were able to reverse the cancer with a certain brown rice diet. Yes, a brown rice diet. And they would eat mainly the brown rice. And this is also a way of reversing diabetes, too. And certain people who didn't want to be bothered with going to see their oncologist or whatever about their cancer, they tried this. And for some, it worked well. But before I even go there, let me say something. I can't think of the gentleman's name now. In the next program, I'll let you know. But this gentleman's father worked for the Cancer Institute. He was a physician there. And this is going back, I think it was in the 70s, I believe. They had a cancer cure. Listen to me. They had a cancer cure. Yes. But what happened? Why didn't they give it to the public? Well, the big boys of those cancer institutes said, we got to shelve this because if we put this out there, a lot of us are going to be out of business. You know, the cancer institutes employ millions of people. They get paid well. And they're always talking about they're trying to find a cure. They had a cure and shelved it. And you all walking around with these pink ribbons trying to raise money to find a cure. They listen. When they get that money, they're not even thinking about a cure. They're just thinking about how much more money they can put in their pocket. Okay? They're not going to give you a cure. They had it and shelved it. I'll give you the gentleman's name next time. Okay? So anyway, there are natural holistic ways to reverse cancer. Yes, there is. And many people have reversed it holistically by changing their diet and lifestyle, making the correct changes, and reducing those tumors to nothing. Yes. And I believe I did do a program on cancer before. But I just want to talk about this one supplement, which is like the secret cancer fighter, okay? And it's got to do with brown rice. That's why I mentioned the macrobiotic diet at the time, because brown rice, especially like the basmati brown rice, the short grain brown rice is actually the most effective in working with cancer and diabetes. But anyway, nearly 30 years ago, when researchers at the University of Maryland were conducting studies on the health benefits of plant fibers, they began to pay particular attention to two compounds called inositol, I-N-O-S-I-T-O-L, and inositol hexaphosphate. So inositol hexaphosphate, which is S-P-H-A-T-E, which is called IP6. Remember that I and P as in Peter, 6, IP6. And this is the brand of brown rice. Not the brand, but the brand of brown rice is particularly rich in these nutrients. And a doctor named Abu Kalam Shamsuddin, which is a medical doctor with a PhD, a pathologist at the University of Maryland, was especially interested in how these compounds worked in combination on cancer. So he began a series of experiments to determine why these two plant nutrients should behave much more powerfully together than apart. So what is IP6 and inositol? Inositol is a cousin to the B vitamins, B as in boy. IP6 is inositol too, but it has extra phosphates attached to it. And in essence, these compounds are identical twins. But one twin is carrying six pieces. And both inositol and IP6 are used by every single cell of the body. And IP6 on its own has been found to have strong anti-cancer properties. You hear that? Strong anti-cancer properties. And IP6 has been shown to repair damage in cells that cause out-of-control cell growth and slow the rate of cancerous cell divisions. Yes? And also boosts specialized immune cells called natural killer cells, the NK cells, which are especially good at seeking out and killing cancer cells. Any doctor tell you about this? I don't think so. It also helps restore cancer cells to a more normal function, so they lose some of their malignant characteristics. It also increases the activity of genes that suppress tumor growth by as much as 1,700%. 1,700%. It increased the rate which cancer cells self-destruct. And that's a process called apoptosis. Apoptosis. Or some people say apoptosis. They starve malignant tumors by inhibiting the growth of blood vessels that feed the cancer. And you know, I always tell you, if you have cancer, do not eat meat. Do not eat especially red meat, because it feeds the cancer. It's also bind and remove excessive heavy metals. Iron can be a primary growth factor for cancer cells. It also inhibits metastasis by preventing the ability of cancer cells to stick together at a new site. It also reduces inflammation with chemical messages that halt the production of inflammatory compounds and inhibit free radical production, which can trigger cellular damage. IP6. You can find this in your health food store. It's there. IP6. Been there for years. Okay? I read about this like 20 years ago. Okay? I said, wow, IP6. How come they don't tell the public or the physicians tell their patients about it? They don't want you to know. But your brother here is sharing the information with you. However, scientists found that when IP6 is administered with inositol in an exact ratio, these benefits become much more powerful. And when cancer cells are exposed to IP6 with inositol, the cells lose their aggressiveness, cease their out-of-control growth rate, and die. Huh? So this combination boosts the ability of the natural killer cells much more vigorously than just IP6 alone. Yes, IP6 with inositol. Think about it, brothers and sisters. And listen, in a Journal of Nutrition study, the combination of IP6 with inositol was significantly better in different cancer models, colon, breast, and metastatic lung cancer, than was either alone. So several case studies have shown that when IP6 with inositol was given in combination with chemotherapy, the side effects of chemotherapy were diminished greatly and patients were better able to perform their daily activities. So if you are one that feels you need to go with the chemotherapy, you better take the IP6 with inositol along with it. Okay? But chemotherapy does not do anything for cancer in all reality. The only thing it will work for that I've done research on is childhood leukemia. Other than that, believe me, some people say, oh, yeah, I'm cancer-free. Yeah, and in a few years, you'll have cancer come back with a vengeance. And I'm not kidding. Okay. So they say, why not just eat brown rice bran? You know, they have brown rice bran that you can just buy from the health food store. But in order to get the amount of IP6 and inositol using dietary supplements, you'd have to devote 20% of your diet exclusively to brown rice bran. Okay? 20%. That's a lot. And the other, but, you know, remember when I told you how people have reversed their cancer with the brown rice diet? Yes. It's because they were eating the brown rice 3 times a day. That was their meal. With maybe a few greens, the extra virgin olive oil to give it a little buttery flavor, okay? And the juices, I always suggest a certain juices that would help also. I shared that with you a while back. Anyway, so the other issue is that IP6 is bound to protein in food, which complicates its absorption and decreases utilization. So research has shown that IP6 that is not bound to the other compounds in brown rice is at least twice as effective against malignant tumors. Now, so why is this specific ratio? Researchers have found that IP6 and inositol work best together, magnifying each other's cancer-fighting power. But they are still trying to better understand exactly how this occurs. And one theory is that an exact ratio of IP6 to inositol metabolizes to create optimal amounts of IP3, which may be the most physiologically active of the group. So therefore, the ratio that specifically matches one inositol molecule to one IP6 molecule will create vastly more IP3 than other kinds of combinations. Okay? Yes. And lastly, on this note, the ratio that many integrative doctors are using in their clinics is 220 milligrams of inositol for every 880 milligrams of IP6. Since these nutrients are extremely safe, some practitioners use as much as 8 grams of the combination for serious concerns like active cancer. So individuals using IP6 with inositol for cancer prevention or immune issues often use 1 to 2 grams each day as a preventative. So regardless of dose, using IP6 combined with inositol for any type of immune system or cancer concern is a combination that delivers life-changing nutrients when you need them most. So keep that in mind, brothers and sisters, IP6. You can find it in your health food store. That's what I'm saying. The natural things are the best things to fight these diseases. But your doctor won't tell you that. He will not let you know about these things. He will just keep you in the dark and push his drug, whatever it may be, and get their kickbacks from the pharmaceutical company and get those nice vacations for pushing their drug, and you're the one suffering. You see? So keep that in mind. Okay. What else can we talk about? There's something else I did want to talk about. And let me see if I can get to my notes here. Okay. How about fruits and veggies? Okay. Let's talk about fruits and veggies. You know, color your plate. Color your plate. Okay? Fruits and vegetables. You should be eating as much as possible. You see? Incorporate the vegetables to your diet. Take a heart, a little creativity, and a lot of variety can make it a delicious proposition. I'm telling you. You know, many of a plant's own defensive antioxidants are also responsible for their deep red, blue, orange, green hues. So think like an artist when you eat. Paint a picture on your plate with these wonderful foods and enjoy the powerful nutrients they offer. Eat of all the different colors. You go into the produce section. Look at all the colorful fruits and vegetables. Now, I know some of you go to the candy section and look at all the colorful candy bars and M&M's, all the colorful, and all this nonsense, which isn't good for you. But anyway, let's look at the color of food. Blue, black, and purple. Excellent. You say blue, black, and purple. What's blue, black, and purple? Blueberries, grapes, black currants, mulberries, and all kinds of other berries. These fruits are rich in pro anthocyanidins, and a wide variety of free radical fighting flavonoids that protect your eyes from macular degeneration. They strengthen blood vessels in your brain, reduce Alzheimer's inducing plaques, which we just talked about earlier, and tangles, and stop the potential of tumor-causing DNA damage from oxidative stress. Eat your blueberries, your blackberries, okay? Your grapes, your purple grapes, your mulberries, and whatever other berries that have dark color. Eat them. You see? Yes, you got purple plums. You got all kinds of stuff out there. But make sure you incorporate these. How about red? What's red? Tomatoes, watermelon, cherries, strawberries, raspberries, cranberries, red peppers. You know, tomatoes and watermelon are rich sources of what they call lycopene, a carotenoid that protects the heart, lowers the blood pressure, and preserves the prostate. You see? Yes, cherries, strawberries, raspberries, and peppers provide anthocyanins that guard against oxidative stress. And cherries also reduce uric acid levels, so they are great for gout fighters. They're great gout fighters. Excuse me 1 minute. Son, sister, would you hold on? Yes. Okay. I just had to speak to my wife there for a minute. Okay, pardon me. So, cherries are great for gout. Spanish researchers have found that tomatoes and peppers are a rich source of melatonin. So, slathering a little salsa on grilled chicken, if you eat grilled chicken, which I don't recommend, okay? But this is what they said. And they help you to sleep better, too. You see? But the reds are great. You can have tomato sauce on your pasta. Okay? Excellent. Form of lycopene. You see? Yes. And the added plus of peppers is the heat from the compound called capsicum, which may also boost metabolism. And, of course, cranberries are well known for their ability to prevent urinary tract infections. If you have a urinary tract infection, get you some pure 100% cranberry juice. It'll help you out. How about greens? I know all of y'all have some greens now. What's green? Money? Well, we're not talking about money here. We're talking about health. Okay, first thing people think about when they say green. Oh, money, green. Yeah, okay. But this is better than that. This is something to keep you healthy so you can enjoy your money. So green spinach, kale, Swiss chard, mustard greens, bok choy, collard greens, broccoli, these type of greens. These leafy greens are rich in vitamin K. K, not as in Klan. Now, I don't like to say that, but, you know, some of y'all out there, I don't know, you might have that mentality, okay? Not that K, maybe special K, okay? Anyway, these leafy greens are rich in vitamin K, which is required for proper blood clotting and bone building. They also provide vitamin A, iron, and magnesium. And the cruciferous vegetables on the list include kale, collard greens, and broccoli. These are excellent sources of cancer-fighting compounds called glucosinolates that have been shown to inhibit tumor formation. And in fact, you know, a recent Norwegian study found that extracts from fresh kale inhibited the proliferation of colon cancer cells. Did you know that? What doctor told you that? Huh? You think about it, brothers and sisters, please. How about oranges? I know the first thing y'all think about is the orange, but there's other orange-colored vegetables, such as sweet potatoes, carrots, oranges and grapefruits, huh? And sweet potatoes and carrots contain beta carotene, lutein, and other carotenoids. The antioxidants in sweet potatoes may help you detoxify heavy metals. And the carotenoids in carrots are well known for their ability to promote good vision. And as a source of fiber, both foods slow the absorption of sugar. Oranges, while rich in vitamin C that stops oxidative damage, also provide hesperidin, a flavone molecule that lowers blood pressure. Did you hear that? Yes. Okay, what about white? Oh, what? Vegetables are white. Where have you been? Cauliflower, radishes, garlic, and onions. Yes. You didn't think about that. Even potatoes. Yeah, white potatoes. You ever hear that? Yeah. Anyway, cauliflower and radishes have more micronutrients in common with their green sulforaphane cousins, kale, cabbage, and broccoli, but they are also a source of powerful cell-protecting compounds. And fresh garlic is best known for heart and artery protection and for reducing cholesterol levels. So this is thanks to its allicin content, a compound also responsible for garlic's distinctive odor. Yet another compound in garlic called ajoin has been reported to have anti-cancer potential. And onions. I have one every day. They say an onion a day keeps the stroke away. Onion is powerful. It's got sulfur. It's great for your heart. Okay, great for your vessels. Think onion. Yes, onions are great. Some of you, you ever have a Vidalia onion? I know some of you down there in Georgia. You know, they grow those Vidalias down there more so than any other state. That is the best onion in the world, I tell you. You can almost eat them like fruit. They got a sweet taste to it. They're not hot like the other yellow and red onion and all that, which are great. It's mild, and it tastes so good. I love them. I love them. You see? So keep that in mind. Onions, powerful. Now, also the grape seed. Yeah, a grape seed. The seed, you know, a lot of you nowadays want seedless this and seedless that. That's hybrid stuff, man. Now, listen, the seed's supposed to be in the fruit. The seed has a communication with the fruit. I'm not crazy about it. I will not eat watermelons that are seedless and grapes that are seedless. I look for the ones that have the seeds. I like the natural stuff. Not some of these man-made concoctions. Okay? Yes. So anyway, we should busy our days eating a full spectrum of colorful fruits and vegetables. Okay? And anyway, something from the grape, a powerful supplement to fill in the gaps is grape seed extract. This one-time leftover of the wine-making process has been seriously studied since the 1970s, and for good reason. It packs a powerful punch of cell-protecting flavonoids and oligomeric proanthocyanidins, DINs, OPCs as they call them. And research has found that grape seed extract, which you can find at your health food stores, stops artery damage, lowers blood pressure, protects brain cells and nerve endings, prevent tumor formation and growth, quench free radicals, reduce damaging inflammation. This is the grape seed extract. But not just any grape seed extract will do. Many extracts contain tannins, which are too large to be effectively absorbed. So look for a high OPC grape seed extract. O as in other, P as in Peter, and C, C as in Charles. OPC grapeseed extract standardized to contain only OPCs that are small enough to be absorbed, if that's what you asked for. Natural. Ooh. Boy, you know, if Americans would just change their eating habits, start eating more organic, natural foods, fresh fruits and vegetables, whole grains, nuts and seeds, all these things, and get away from all this artificial nonsense, we would have less hospitals, okay? We would see doctors less. We would be in better shape, yes. And the more we start consuming organic foods, the more they'll produce, you see, and the lower the price will become. So let's get into asking our managers of supermarkets to start bringing in more organic foods. A lot of supermarkets now, conventional supermarkets, have organic foods. I've seen halal foods, organic foods, all types of good foods now. You see? Because people are demanding it. And the more the demand, the more it'll change. You see? But there's still, you know, those who still want their, you know, sad diet. The standard American diet with all the junk and everything else that just is destructive to the body. You see? I remember a man I highly respect called the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a man who wrote a book, How to Eat to Live, Volumes 1 and 2, which I read. His dietary habits as a youngster, eating one meal a day, trying to eat as natural as possible. And I tell you, had more energy. And I remember those brothers who were in that Nation of Islam, and the sisters were slim and trim and alert and active, energetic. When they got away from it, a lot of them have become fat and overweight, sluggish and sick, diseased and everything else. I always practiced what he gave us. Always looked for the best foods. I'm still the same size I was back then, believe it or not. Okay, and I'm not a youngster. I'm just saying. Eat less, live longer, live healthier. That's a key. Key point is to eat less food. Don't stuff yourself with everything you see. I see people just steady eating constantly and not even hungry. They just eat to eat because they like the taste of things. You see? And they're obese and overweight. Some can't move around. Some suffer with every disease imaginable. You don't need to live like that. Make the changes. Some of you brothers from the nation and sisters from the nation, maybe you need to go back to How to Eat to Live. Those of you who left that book alone, maybe you can get back in shape. You see? Never too late, no matter what the age. It's never too late. And if you want a product of the Nation of Islam, anybody out there, learn how to eat correctly. Incorporate good eating habits. Eat less. Leave room in your stomach. That's the way you're supposed to eat. Eat when your stomach says, Hello? I need something down here. I feel empty. I'm ready for some more food. That's the key. But if you don't feel that hunger pang, then you just overeat. You see? So keep that in mind, brothers and sisters. I'm getting ready to sign off a little early, but hopefully you all got something out of this. And I pray to God that all of you make the changes necessary if you haven't changed. And I know some of you good people out there are eating right and holistically and trying to do the best you can. And whatever you've learned from here, share with others, co-workers, friends, and relatives. Let them know there is things that they can do to prevent themselves from these diseases and to overcome these diseases. Have them tune in next week, Thursday, 6 o'clock, okay? So they also can learn and get some benefit from this program. Again, I thank you all. God bless. You all have a good evening, and I'll talk with you next week, God willing.